Paris Live Radio. Oral sex in your ear every morning at this hour, 9 o'clock. This is Max Kaiser. I'm here with Stacey Herbert. We're breaking it down with Le Frick Show. Le Frick Show, the show that breaks it down for you each and every day. Oh, shook, cookie and jive, it's The Frick Show coming to you almost live. Paris Live Radio is the name of the station. We are reachable at Canal Satellite Channel 118. ParisLive.fm, News Channel 35, NC and Maricopa, Channel 155. And for the next 30 minutes or so, we're going to be, giving you some good oral sex in your ear the way you like it, nice and wet and juicy. You know, Stacey Herbert, here in Europe, we've got visiting Jon Snow, U.S. Treasury Secretary. Jon Snow. Do you know the name Jon Snow?
I know the name Jon Snow, but he's a TV presenter in Britain.
Now, he's also the U.S. Treasury Secretary. He took over from, I think, Robert Rubin was the U.S. Treasury Secretary for a while under Clinton.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
You are not mistaken.
He's over at Citigroup, advising those dudes about how to milk the world of global economy, how to shake down the global economy. But Jon Snow, he's got the job now. And basically, I call him Lobotomy Jon Snow because he's clearly had almost all of his gray matter extracted.
He does look quite gray.
He's very gray already. And clearly, if you look closely at his skull, you see the incision marks where they pulled out most of his brain. Mm-hmm. He's over here. He's lecturing the Europeans on capitalism and why the Europeans should adopt capitalism and what he calls free markets and competition. They need to get more free market competition in Europe, or else the European economy will fail to be competitive. Now, this is an interesting thing coming from. This is the pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah.
As if the European economy needs lecturing from the U.S. about how to run an economy. Because at the same time, in the Financial Times this morning, we see a huge article about the total scandal that's going on with the price of a Bush ambassadorship. Apparently $100,000 in donors to get Bush elected during that last scam election. Now wins you, bing bong, an ambassadorship to some country where you go around sallying about, talking about free enterprise, of which you bought. You bought that position with graft, bribery, and chicanery in Washington.
That is so cheap. That's cheaper than a U.S. university education.
Well, I remember for $100,000, you became a, quote, pioneer in the U.S. election system. If you raised $100,000 to support Bush's fraud,
yeah,
you got pioneer status, and now you're being rewarded with these ambassadorships. So you've got this guy, for example, Robert Tuttle. He's going to be ambassador in London. He looks very pleased with himself.
Well, yeah, because they have an amazing house that comes with that in Regent's Park.
Meanwhile, also, here we have Jon Snow lecturing the Europeans on free market competition. The same Financial Times that carries that article carries an article about Microsoft has told the people in China, they're complying with the people in China to delete, essentially, the word freedom and democracy.
Yeah, I saw that.
So here's Microsoft, which is in the top three biggest companies in the world.
Yeah.
Bill Gates, the richest man in the world, who they want to do business in China. China is a human rights abuser. So Microsoft says, well, we want your money,
mm-hmm,
and forget freedom and democracy. That's a concept. We don't really believe in it anymore. It's something, it's a brand, but it's not really something we live by. So we're going to delete freedom and democracy from our products in China. And, of course, the Financial Times is running an editorial today saying that this is going down a slippery slope, because once you delete freedom and democracy from speech, it's very difficult to go back and say what freedom and democracy might mean.
Yeah.
So here you have Bill Gates, who, ironically enough, accused Linux and the open source movement of being communist.
Yes, yes, that's true. I remember this. This was a few months ago.
That's right. Linux and open source, which is free, which is democratic, which is raw capitalism,
mm-hmm,
should be applauded and supported by the U.S. Which is if the U.S. were serious about fighting terrorism, which they're not, because clearly there's more money into it with money laundering and the drug business. That's the bread and butter business for U.S. banks. So they say they're against terrorism, but they're actually really financing terrorism.
Yeah.
So it's all about the semantic kind of wiggling and waggling and worming about that at the end of the day adds up to a huge isolationism on America's part, which is leading to its complete and utter downfall, which can't happen soon enough for the very reason we've outlined on this show, which is that America, although it's only 4.7% of the world population, They are responsible for most of the world's waste.
Yes.
So if you get rid of that economy, you've gone a far way down the path of solving the global waste problems.
Yes.
You've got to downsize the U.S. economy. So instead of Jon Snow lecturing Europe about how they need to be more so-called competitive, how to become more GDP growing, Europe should be lecturing America about how to be more sustainable, because Europe's economy is less polluting. Therefore, it's more sustainable. Therefore, it's a more enviable model. You know, Dominique de Villepin, who we've talked about on this program before,
yeah,
who's talking about globalization is not the destiny of France. He's absolutely right. Who would want globalization as any destiny? It's a suicide move.
It is. It
is. Like,
it's a short-term profit, long-term loss.
It would be as stupid as like bombing Iraq without an exit strategy.
Oh,
who would ever do that?
No, never.
Yeah. You know, who would be that stupid?
But anyway, so how did the Europeans respond to this man? Was he meeting with Peter Mandelson? Peter Mandelson's the EU trade commissioner, isn't he?
He's just going around getting laid, like Ben Franklin before him and other U.S. dignitaries.
Jon Snow is.
Yeah, they come to Europe to get laid. You know, they hook him up with some high-priced hookers, and, you know, he's away from his wife for a while, and he's getting his little willy, you know, serviced. And he makes a big speech about capitalism and free market. You know, he doesn't, of course, represent anything to do with free market or capitalism, because if you look at the other parts of the Financial Times, what you discover is, for example, in the U.S., there's this huge, what they're calling a quandary, vis-a-vis internet gambling.
Yes, yes. What's going on here? Because in the U.K., there's about to be a huge float for party gaming.
Partygaming.com, which is going to be worth $11 billion.
Theoretically.
So, well, yeah. Sure. And this is online gambling and casino sites.
Uh-huh.
And they make a huge business in gambling, which is, according to the laws in the U.S. right now, illegal. It's mm-hmm. against the law to gamble online. Mm-hmm. You can only gamble in the monopoly-protected, mafia-protected Las Vegas region.
Yeah, sure.
You can't gamble outside of that because they've got their own senators. They've got their own lawmakers. They don't want any competition, the mm-hmm. so-called free market competition in America. But you can't compete in the gambling space because of the cartel in Las Vegas, right? And so there's a problem because this partygaming.com is now going public. And once you go public and you're worth $11 billion, you've got a ton of money to make new laws, buy new senators, buy new lawyers, buy new laws. So the U.S. is fearing that they're going to be, although they got the monopoly in Las Vegas and a lot of people are getting rich off that, they may be losing the big picture. So they're looking at these gambling laws and looking at these casino laws. Obviously, the U.S. is going to make gambling legal. They have to somehow do it in a way that's going to please the evangelical Christian blight.
In Las Vegas.
In America.
Yeah.
Who's got a chokehold on the Bush administration.
Uh-huh.
And they've got to figure out how to sell gambling to Christians.
Okay.
And which I'm sure they'll come up with some reason. Like, what casino would have Jesus gone to? Haraz or Bally's? Bally's.
How about you, instead of poker chips, they give you wafers?
Yeah, wafers. Wafers for gamblers. Then the evangelicals in America would love it.
Yeah.
You get you go to the casino, you get a poker chip wafer.
Yeah.
And you get wine, of course. You get all the booze you can drink, all the wine you can drink, and poker chip wafers. This is what Jesus, this is what it says in the Bible. If you read the Bible carefully, it says right here, Jesus loves online casino gambling. It's clearly what he wanted. This is what Jesus was asking everyone to adopt.
Okay, but I saw with this partygaming.com that UBS was downgrading it, saying this is not worth $10 billion, it's worth $8 billion.
Well,
because
yeah.
of the U.S. regulatory situation.
Well, this is where the banks get involved, and they have incredible lobbying ability, and they want to get the biggest paycheck possible, and this is where they're going to strong-arm U.S. lawmakers to adopt gambling laws to get bigger money, because it's all about money in the end. Now, the reason I bring this up, and vis-a-vis, this is the word of the day, vis-a-vis, which is somewhat French.
I think it's Latin. I guess all our languages
Latin roots, isn't it?
Okay.
You know, it's a Jon Snow who's got the in here lecturing Europeans on the correct way to get filleted by hookers. He's the thing about it is that in America they already have gambling. It's called the hedge fund industry.
Yeah.
What is a hedge fund? Hedge fund is a professional gambler. People they scratch their head and say, "I don't get what a hedge fund is. What's a hedge fund?" Hedge fund is professional gambling. It's what it is.
And that's where most of our money is going. Even pension funds, your so-called safe pension funds, are giving your money to hedge funds.
Professional gamblers.
In order to gamble.
That's right.
Even Mark Cuban, this American billionaire, he's starting a hedge fund, apparently, according to the Washington Post. And he's going to hire, for his analysts, he's going to hire gamblers, professional gamblers.
That's correct.
Isn't this?
Robert Citrone, who ran the pension fund over in Orange County, California, blew it.
Yeah.
Put his company in bankruptcy because he was a compulsive gambler.
He put the whole city of Orange County.
It's gambling. Hedge fund is gambling. So America, they already has the biggest gambling market in the world.
Uh-huh.
But they just don't call it gambling. 35% of all the profits from the S&P 500, that is the Standard & Poor's 500, that is the 500 biggest companies in America, similar to the FTSE 100, come from financial speculation
mm-hmm.
and derivatives trading and so-called carry trade, which is gambling on interest rate,
yes.
future interest rates. Okay, so America lives on gambling right now. So the fact that they don't have online gambling is just a function of the guys in Vegas who have bigger guns than the guys in Washington for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
But I would imagine as the spread closes between the amount of money that the people in Washington can make selling stock on the New York Stock Exchange in online gambling closes versus the money made graft and corruption in Vegas, they'll break up that cartel and go public with publicly traded gambling sites.
Yes, of course, because also it opens that new market of women, because apparently women are the biggest gamblers online, because I guess they don't like the very macho male, aggressive, drinking attitude of the gambling pits.
By the way, we got a new sponsor.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. We got a new sponsor on this show.
Because I need to buy a new pair of shoes. So.
Now, the thing about it is that we talk a lot about banks and brokers and stocks and bonds and things like this nature. We have, I would say, a dim view. On most people in that profession. But the fact is that people, at the end of the day, need to have their money managed.
Uh-huh.
And they need to have their money managed by competent professionals.
Okay.
Let me give you a name.
Who should I contact?
Let me give you a name. Rich Wilson.
Rich Wilson.
Rich
okay.
Wilson.
It sounds like a good name.
Yeah.
It sounds
he's
like...
rich. How did he get the name Rich? You know, his name is not Poor Wilson, is it?
It's
Rich Wilson.
It sounds like a very generic sort of name that you would put your faith in.
I put my total faith in Rich Wilson. I've known Rich Wilson for 10 years.
Okay.
He's been in brokering business for 10 years. He's over at DuPasquier, which is a French firm located in the Champs-Élysées. He's mm-hmm. a professional money manager, and he's a risk-averse guy who he's open all day. You see, people in Americans here in Paris, they're brokers in the States. The hours are all fakakta.
Uh-huh.
Because the brokers are going to sleep. These people are waking up. They don't know what to do. There's
No.
Rich Wilson is here right now.
He's right here.
He's here right
now.
His phone number is 01-40-76-0767.
Uh-huh.
So you see, that's Rich Wilson's number. You call him up over at DuPasquier, the firm,
uh-huh.
and he'll put you into some good investments, unlike Jon Snow.
Jon Snow. Don't listen to Jon Snow's advice.
Don't listen to Jon Snow.
His advice. They're also here lecturing Europeans to spend more money. I saw that Roger Cohen in the International Herald Tribune today was saying that, you know, the Europeans just don't get it. They need to spend more money on military. Look at the Indians. India, they're spending money on military because they see that you need a military to fight.
Yeah. Well, because the environment doesn't factor into any of these idiots' thinking, as if the environment, like it was 200 years ago, is infinitely abundant. This is what Adam Smith and David Ricardo, in their work during the Enlightenment of the 19th century, during the 18th century, they never factored in what would happen if you used up all the natural resources in the world, and the price of natural resources started to go up, and how that would capsize this so-called neoliberal economic model that people like Milton Friedman, Nobel Prize winner, Chicago School of Economics, monetarist extraordinaire, also don't factor in the environment. And as years go by, all of his theories are proving to be absolutely wrong. And all the whole neoliberal model is absolutely wrong. I'm not anti-capitalist. I'm pro the environment. I'm anything that's pro the environment because I want to live. I want the habitat to survive. And right now, if America wins this globalization war and they put all these corrupt people in charge, then we're going to have an environmental catastrophe as we are right now. So I'm for the environment. I'm for a sustainable version of capitalism. I'm for a capitalism that is balanced. And you see that in places like Denmark, in Northern Europe, and I think France makes a good point when they say that they don't want globalization to totally get in the way of what the hell?
We're here. We've received a new sponsor, Marmite.
We have a new sponsor. That's just in, ladies and gentlemen. Le Frick Show has a brand new sponsor.
Speaking of environmentally unsound, they're in little tiny plastic containers
yeah,
for each
this.
Little serving of
this
Marmite.
This is for little Indians.
You have to understand, PLR is run by a bunch of Australians.
Yeah.
So,
what about this Marmite? I thought they ate Vegemite over there.
Vegemite. Yeah, this is British.
This is British.
Get rid of the Brits. We're sick of the Brits. The Brits are being kicked out of Europe.
Look at this little Marmite package. It's so cute. It looks like a little Marmite jar. I just want to rub this on my nipple right now and lick my nipples covered in Marmite. Now you can lick my nipple-covered Marmite nipple.
As we promise, we give you oral sex every morning.
Oral
guaranteed.
Sex satisfaction every morning on Le Frick Show here at Paris Live Radio. My name is Max Kaiser. I'm here with Stacey Herbert. We're here every day at this time. Next week, we're going live. Right now, we're only partially live. But next week, we're going to be all the way live for an hour starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. So adjust your thinking. You don't have to get up now for another hour. Just set your clock, put the snooze on, snooze, sleep in, get up to us. We'll tickle your ear with some little oral sex, A-U-R-L. How do you spell oral?
A-U-R-A-L.
Oh, that's right. That's oral. Right. That is a double entendre.
Is that aureola?
Areola is a thing that surrounds your nipple. That fleshy pinky thing.
Yeah.
Do you like women with big or small areolas?
Oh, I prefer either.
Okay. All right.
I like smaller ones, though.
Do you like smaller ones?
Yeah.
Because they're cuter?
Because they're cuter,
yeah.
And I like small breasts. The bigger aureolas tend to be on bigger-breasted women.
I don't like breasts bigger than would fit in my mouth.
Okay, honey.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's got to be able to fit in my mouth. And it's surprisingly, you know, you can get a medium, a B-cup. You can get a B-cup in your mouth.
Okay.
Anything above a B-cup, though, it's too big. No. I get intimidated.
Yeah.
So I want to be, like, you know, back with my mommy.
Yeah,
lactating, blissfully.
That's the thing
me.
Is apparently if you like big breasts, you have a thing for your mother. You still have a thing for your mother.
Speaking of big breasts, the world doesn't run on lactating Mother Nature. The world runs on oil.
Yes, it does.
And let's get back into the serious politics of the show.
Of oil.
Enough about Marmite and tits.
Because everything that has been happening around the world for the last 3-4 years, since Osama blew up the World Trade Towers, everything is about oil.
That's right. You've heard about the Greenspan put, where all traders in the world have no fear of markets collapsing because Alan Greenspan will bail them out with a flood of money. We introduced a concept in this show called the Osama call. Mm-hmm. It's the opposite of the Greenspan put. The Osama call means no matter what policies are put into place by any government in the world, commodity prices are going to go up. Oil prices are going to go up.
Uh-huh.
Interest rates are going to go up.
Up, 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 up.
Up, up, up.
Life just got more expensive.
It's just going to keep going up. That's the Osama call. Because Osama is basically the world's central banker for commodities.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Alan Greenspan is the world's central banker for funny money and play money and virtual money.
Yeah, yeah.
And who prints all the play money and virtual money? John Braindead Snow. John Lobotomy Snow.
Okay.
John Idiot Snow, who's in Europe lecturing Europeans on how to be good capitalists. Meanwhile, his own economy is fueled entirely by debt and entirely by nuclear waste.
Yeah, and it's collapsing.
And by fatuous, you know, blasphemous, fart-blowing, you know, Washington administration, you know, who can't talk out of its butthole fast enough. But anyway, so North Sea output falls 10% in a year. Now, this you actually pointed this out to me this morning, and I'm internally grateful because I miss some of the things in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
British oil production fell by 10% last year, one of the fastest rates of declines in the world, according to British Petroleum.
Yeah, and you know what? Having lived in London for the last few years, all the papers always ask, why did Tony Blair follow George Bush into Iraq? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
yeah, right. Obviously, he knew what's going to happen with North Sea oil. It's
right.
Collapsing. There is none left.
Yeah, well, they went in there for the oil. And, of course, in a very cheeky fashion, they keep getting on TV and saying, we didn't go in there for the oil. Donald Rumsfeld, we didn't go in there for the oil. We're here to liberate these people and to force donuts on them.
And all these foreigners are here just, you know, causing havoc. It's not Iraqis who are resisting us.
Yeah, it's those damn foreigners.
It's those damn foreigners. They are the only foreigners, by the way, in Iraq.
And, you know, here, speaking of Bush, who's trying to run the economy based on his flatulence over there in America, natural gas, the Bush administration is further helping natural gas by aggressively championing the United States as the hub of global market for natural gas. And this is on the front page of the Herald Tribune today. They point out that this might not be such a great idea because the only way to transport natural gas is in the liquefied version, which is potentially very explosive.
Uh-huh. They want to run their economy on natural gas.
Yeah, they want to... here's another message from above.
This makes sense.
I get these messages. Beware of geeks leaving gifts.
Bearing gifts.
Take so, you and your Marmite, get out of here.
So it's all
beware
crazy.
Of Australians bearing Marmite. That's what I tell you, the audience. If you see an Australian bearing Marmite, he's got something's wrong because they have Vegemite there. You see,
they have Vegemite.
Remember
and
World
Marmite.
War II? The guy with they say if they think the German, they don't know if he's American or not. They go, okay, who's the second baseman for the Red Sox?
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, the Fledermaus. You know that he's a German. You blow him away.
Yeah.
If you see an Australian carrying Marmite, he's a fake Australian. Blow him away. You know that
we're
expression?
So American.
You
here.
See that expression? If you see the Buddha on the road, kill him.
Yeah.
It's like just like that, except with Australians and Marmite.
Okay.
It's like Buddhism and bullets. This is Australians, Marmite. If you got this right on the test, it's a syllogism. If A equals B and B equals C, then D equals a Marmite and Australians. That's the answer. It's always the same answer.
Okay, well, but going back to the story you were just talking about, yeah. Bush saying that they're going to run the U.S. economy on natural gas.
Yeah. But they want to do that. They want to run the U.S. economy by transporting tankers full of highly compressed liquefied natural gas. It's like that fertilizer bomb that what's his name used to blow up
Timothy
the federal
McVeigh.
Building. It's like that, but a lot bigger and more powerful. Instead of blowing out one building, you blow out our whole town.
But he's also given us a clue as to where he's going next with his war on terror, which is of course Venezuela and Bolivia, who have all that natural gas.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. Well, you made the other point here, which is, I rely on you, basically. A lot of people don't realize this, but during the night, Stacey whispers things in my ear that...
Give me more money. Max, buy me some shoes. Max, give me some more oral sex in the morning on the Freak Show.
I'm totally aroused.
Hello,
I'm totally aroused.
If you could only see Max right now, you would.
I got a serious witty right now. I can't believe it.
Okay.
Oh, honey, do we have to do the rest of the show? Why can't I just throw you down on the carpet right now and make passionate love to you? Why do we have to do the rest of the show? How much time? More time? I can't wait. I'm bursting. I've got a whiteout.
Five more minutes.
I can't wait. We gotta play music.
Okay.
No, we gotta finish the show, and then I'm going to Roger you senseless.
This is a really interesting story, actually, from the Financial Times today. You've got to go into this.
Okay. So, with the true motivation for all these political acts, cultivation of coca, the raw material for cocaine, increased last year in the Andean region for the first time this century.
That's pretty shocking.
So, you know, remember before the war on terror?
I think it's a lie.
Before the war on terror, there was the war on drugs.
Uh-huh.
How's that war going? Bad. Because cocaine production has never been higher.
Uh-huh.
Colombia has never been a stronger narco state.
Well, they actually say it didn't. They don't mention Colombia there. They say Peru and Bolivia, where coincidentally the peasants are rebelling. They're demanding democracy.
Yeah.
So I think it's just going to be used as a pretense.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. Actually, you hit the nail on the head. In other words, Bolivia. You know, talk about freedom and democracy with Jon Snow lecturing Europeans on freedom and democracy. It's kind of like, I'm thinking of a good analogy here, Charles Manson lecturing Michael Jackson on the protocol on, you know, how to stroke minors.
Okay.
You know, something ugly and horrible senseless. I'll think of a much better one for tomorrow,
yeah.
I'm sure. But in Bolivia, they're actually seeking democracy and freedom.
Yes.
They want to renationalize their own assets. They don't want to sell them off to capitalistic, predatory, nightmarish, no good nicks.
And the same thing is happening in Peru, where they don't want these American companies coming in and taking their silver and gold or whatever is there in the mountains in
right,
Peru.
Right, so suddenly you read a little item in the Financial Times here, mm-hmm. the, buried in a little corner. Oh, you know, there's a lot of cocaine in these countries suddenly.
Suddenly, yep.
Oh, yeah,
well,
we better send
like...
in the Black Hawk choppers.
Like
and take over the government. They can't manage themselves. They have trouble managing themselves. There's so much cocaine there.
Uh-huh.
The people want democracy and freedom. We can't have that.
No, it's not about the democracy and freedom. We support democracy
and freedom.
But sadly, we're going to have to like eradicate this cocaine because obviously we need to free these people.
These indigenous people, they got to go too.
Well, those are like the stories.
They're terrorists.
Those
women with the hats, the crazy hats, they can put a bomb under those hats. Have you seen those hats that women wear? They can put a bomb under those hats. I know it.
I like that. And the ponchos. The ponchos cover up
they're terrorists. You got to kill them.
Yep.
You know, 100,000 dead Iraqis, that wasn't enough. We got to go kill some Bolivians and Peru. Peruvians.
Yeah. Well, these are like the stories that the Pentagon planted in the Financial Times and all those obedient papers before the Iraq invasion, saying, oh, Osama bin Laden is friends with Saddam Hussein. Obviously,
yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
They've never been friends before, but now they are, and now we're going to invade.
Clearly, the forces that are wielding the biggest weapons are conflicted. I'll say that. They don't believe in freedom and democracy. They believe in profiteering, warmongering, and energy whoring.
Yeah.
This is like I'm working in a telegraph office.
We have to shut the door and lock the door. We're going to barricade ourselves in.
I feel like I'm in the Wild West, and they've got the bandits coming in with these little wires, and pretty soon they're going to put a gun to my head.
What's the next story?
The next story is that more energy. Apparently, the world volume rise in world energy consumption.
Going up.
Right. Now, if you had
GDP
leadership.
GDP growth, yeah.
Yeah, GDP growth means world energy growth. See, this is the problem with preaching GDP growth and productivity growth by John Snow in Europe. It means more energy consumption, more coal burning, more liquefied gas traveling in open highways.
And
more environmental collapse, more potential for disgruntled people who are getting the short end of the stick on this so-called capitalist movement, you know, coming around and blowing up one of these tankers in disgruntlement.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So you can't have GDP growth without energy, oil use growth, which is an environmental catastrophe. And the cost of cleaning up the environment is well in excess of your so-called GDP growth. It's a negative sum game.
Yeah.
You know, you're basically it's economic suicide. And this is what John Snow wants the Europeans to adopt. This is why the Europeans voted no to the recent EU constitution, because it's all about reforming their banking system to put a bunch of predatory monopolists in charge of the money supply, which would be a horrible thing for them. They don't want that.
And see, they didn't want these gray men like Jon Snow coming over and lecturing them. This would have been like an acceptable form before. Now you see what it was really all about. You were about to have these as your
the
economic overlords.
The Bolivians are coming into the studio. the Bolivians are here. Quick, get out the machine guns. They're coming into attacking us.
Black Hawk down. Black Hawk down.
What the hell? Get out of here. Go away.
You have to come. We are in the center, the heart of Pigalle. We are under the
Moulin Rouge. Where men are women and are men, too.
Those guys are lost. They're looking for the...
They're looking for the Moulin Rouge.
No, they're looking for the private dancers. This is a little cave we are in here. And you know what?
What?
We have 1 minute left, and we could talk about...
I can Roger you senseless?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. I'm thinking about it.
Speaking of all that.
I got the morning wood.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people listen to the show have the morning wood because they come into their homes in the early morning and they've got the morning wood.
Okay, but you know what? Tomorrow is Friday.
Yeah.
And you know what? Friday is our Freaky Friday because we always talk about either sex or celebrity. And
oh, really?
Tomorrow we're going to talk about both because there's a lot of sex and a lot of celebrity going around.
There sure is.
It's never been trading at a lower value.
I'm not sure exactly how you come up with those numbers, but I'm curious of how you're accounting. I want to see your numbers.
Okay.
I want to examine you closely.
Okay.
I see you've written the numbers on your butt, on your ass. I'm going to lick the numbers off so I can fully comprehend them.
Can you see them now?
They taste good.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, baby. This has been La Frick Show. My name is Max Kaiser. Stacey Herbert's with me, as she is every day, keeping me sober. Sort of.
And we're back tomorrow morning. See ya.
Bye, y'all.